We want to turn tonight in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. We're dealing with the great subject of our apostle and high priest of our confession. Hebrews chapter 3. And we want to read the first 6 verses. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath filled the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the riches of divine grace. We thank you for this revelation you've given of your Son. We thank you for the command that you've given us, whose house we are. We are the house that was built by the Savior. We are holy brethren, not because we say so, but because you say so. And you have told us that both he that sanctifieth, the Lord, and they that are sanctified, us, are all one, for which cause you are not ashamed to call us brethren. And oh, what a privilege is ours. And we pray that by thy grace, thou wilt enable us to behold that glorious relationship that is ours to consider concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you in his worthy name. Amen. This first verse of Hebrews 3 is a great text. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your confession, Christ Jesus. There are 2 great exhortations, as I mentioned last week, that are given special prominence here in the Hebrews. The first is that we, God's pilgrims of this dispensation, should give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. And then, the second exhortation is before us here in the 3rd chapter. This one calls upon the holy brethren. And last week, we examined that expression, holy brethren, why God calls us holy brethren, and how we come to be designated as his house that has been built by God. And we are told here to consider attentively the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, we also notice when we come to Hebrews 12 that this is given to us again in the expression he is the author, he is the apostle, and he is the finisher of our faith. He is the apostle and high priest. Tonight we want to consider in particular the expression the apostle. When we use the word apostle, we usually think of the 12 that were appointed by the Lord Jesus, plus Paul. That's what usually comes to our minds, for they are known as the apostles. But our Lord here is called the apostle in a very special way. An apostle in the New Testament, apostolos, and the word means one who has been sent forth on a special mission. That is what the word apostolos means. The closest word in our English language to the word apostle is our word missionary. We have sent a missionary on a special mission. And when our Lord came, he had been sent forth from the Father. 1 John says, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now let us consider the person of Christ, who he is. Christ being eternal deity he came forth from God. When he came forth, he assumed the form of natural man. He was born as a virgin. Thus he brought to man all that man required of God. And what man required of God is that which God had said he would be like when he came. And when Andrew said to his brother Philip, his brother Peter in John chapter 1, we have found the Messiah. He meant we have found the one in whom all the things that the Old Testament says are true. He is both God and man. He is a humble servant, but he's also a glorious king. And more than that, he's the Savior of the world. We have found the Messiah. And therefore, when our Lord became a man, he brought all to us that man requires of God. But having finished his work on the cross, and having ascended to the right hand of God, as true man, he returned to God, and now he brings to God all that is required of man. And that's what's so thrilling about it. There's a man in the glory. All that God ever requires of me is already there. It's there in the person of my representative, in the person of God's dear Son. Now, it is in this character of man that our Lord will appear when he comes again. He's coming again, and he's coming again to assume in visible display the office of king, in addition to that of great high priest. Now, Christ's present ministry is rather the fulfillment of what was typified by Aaron on the Day of Atonement. Having made atonement for sin, there was forgiveness for Israel, and he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And chapters 8 through chapter 10 of Hebrews takes up this great subject of our Lord having entered into the Holy of Holies on our behalf, having obtained eternal redemption for his people. But even though Christ at God's right hand is there in the fulfillment of that which was required of Aaron on the Day of Atonement, he has been saluted by the Father as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he is yet to be revealed as such when he returns. He's going to be both a king and a priest upon his throne, according to Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13. He's going to be something that no one else ever was apart from Melchizedek, both king and priest in the same person. Now, what our Lord is awaiting for, among other things, is the perfecting of the many sons that he's bringing to glory. He's bringing many sons to glory. And the captain of our salvation, who is bringing many sons to glory, is a perfect captain. And he's bringing many sons to glory to be associated with him in his regal reign. Now, the work of an apostle and the work of our Lord Jesus as an apostle. He says, consider the apostle and high priest of your confession. His work as an apostle embraces all his words. His words which the Father gave him to speak. And all his works. And especially his work on the cross, where he bore our sins and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Consider the apostle. Now, the redemption aspect of the work of Christ is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Though it is not described there, it is mentioned there. Let us read chapter 9 and verse 12, where we read this. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And the redemptive aspect of his work is mentioned here, although it's not described. Now, there are many passages in the book of Hebrews which describe the work of Christ as our apostle. And I'm going to go over just a few of them with you. And then you may pick out many, many others, for they are there. Chapter 1, verse 3, we begin there, where we read, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. So you see, here we have his work as the one who was sent forth from God. He purged our sins. Chapter 2 and verse 9, where we read, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every son. Then in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 and verse 15, and then again in verse 18, in this passage, in Hebrews 2, 14, 15, and 18, we have a description of the incarnation of Christ that we don't find many other places. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them who are tempted. And over in chapter 5 and verse 7. Chapter 5 and verse 7, we read this. Who in the days of his flesh, at the time that he was sent forth from the Father, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Then when you get over to chapter 7 and verse 27, we read this concerning our blessed Lord, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. And then one of my favorite texts, chapter 9 and verse 14, and it will be the last, where we read, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Here, Christ offered by the eternal Spirit. Therefore, you see, that first exhortation in the book of Hebrews, we are urged to take heed to the words as that he spoke as the one who was sent from God. Now, I want you to notice him as the apostle. And we're going to take a range of scriptures in order that you may consider him and you can see the import of the words that were spoken. We turn first to the words of Moses. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And we want to read verses 18 and 19. Here are two verses that you should be familiar with as a believer. For in verse 18 we read, I will raise up unto them a prophet from the midst, from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass, that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Consider the apostle and high priest of your confession. Moses said, that prophet that I'm going to raise up is so important that whoever doesn't listen to his words, I will require it of him. Consider the apostle. In the days of our Lord, the people went to John the Baptist and they said to him, are you that prophet? He said, no. And the prophet there is not Elijah that in that particular instance. They asked him if he were Elijah and he said, no. But he said, art thou that prophet then? And he said, no, for he wasn't. Our Lord was that prophet that was spoken of by Moses. And that is a great text in the Old Testament. So we have not only the words spoken prophetically by Moses concerning our apostle. We have by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of Peter in Acts chapter 3 and verse 23, a most interesting verse. Acts 3 and verse 23, where we read, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, he's dealing with Moses, with that word that Moses gave in Deuteronomy 18. It shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That is the Spirit of God's interpretation concerning the greatness of our apostle, our Lord Jesus Christ. But what about our Lord himself? What about our Lord himself? See, our Lord said of himself, he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. Look back at the Gospel of John. And we're going to be in John for a little while. John chapter 3 and verse 34. The third last verse of the chapter. John 3 verse 34. Where we read, for he whom God hath sent, he whom God apostolos hath sent, the one whom God sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. In other words, when we look at that, look over at John chapter 5 verse 46. In John 5, 46, for he says to them, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. You talk about the apostle, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Notice chapter 6 and verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Notice verse 63, John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Look at verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Notice chapter 7 and verse 46. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Notice chapter 12 of John, the 12th chapter, and verses 48 through 50. Our Lord said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father sent unto me, so I speak. What a passage. Consider the apostle. And when you take that word, the apostle, we see the greatness of our Savior, the greatness of his words, and the greatness of his works. But I believe that the greatest passage of all is the high priestly prayer of our Lord. And I invite you to turn with me to John 17. John chapter 17. Here our Lord is about to go to the cross. He lifts his eyes to heaven and he prays for his own. And I want you to notice the emphasis that the Son of God put on the words that he had spoken unto his own. Notice verse 6 of John 17. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Notice the evidence that a person is born of God is their keeping the word of God, for they consider the apostle of their confession. Now notice, in verse 8 he says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. In other words, they believe that I am the apostle of their confession. Look at verse 14. In verse 14 he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now look back at verse 13. He says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. It seems from this passage in John 17:13 that the joy that God the Lord wanted us to have was that joy that was set before him that we read about in Hebrews 12, for which he endured the cross and despised the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. Now the burden of this great prayer in John 17 is that those who were given to him of the Father, and that he kept through the name of the Father, which name Christ manifested, verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. That's where you and I are. That's where we are. These are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. This is a burden of his prayer, that they would be kept to his name, which name he had manifested unto them, and he would sanctify, set them apart through truth. Notice verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Hebrews chapter 2, we read last week, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Verse 15, he said, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. That's one of the greatest blessings that when I understood the truth of that 15th verse. I'll never forget it. A number of years ago, I had a preacher at a conference. And I was a speaker, and I had a speaker on John 17. I had a speaker on John 18. And I had a speaker again on John 19. And he spoke on John 20, and I had a speaker on John 21 through this conference. And as I was studying John 17, and I came to verse 15, what a blessing it was. Our Lord is praying for something. He's praying that I live physically. Read that. And he's praying that his people live physically. We may pray this for people, friends. He says, Father, I will not that you take them out of the world. Now there are only two ways for us to leave the world. And we can only go one of the two. We either go through death or we go through the rapture. I don't know of another way out, do you? There isn't another way out. And the Lord says, I pray not that you take them out. I want them there. Oh, when I learned that truth, I got on my knees. I said, Lord, it's your will that I live physically. Every day, I don't need to go around biting my fingernails, wondering if this is the last. I'm not going to go home until you say it's time for you to come home. My, what a blessing. What a relief. But you know, I prayed a little more about that. I said, Lord, I'd like to see something in your word that explains this. And it seemed the Spirit of God said to me, what about Philippians chapter 1? You see, Paul in Philippians 1, he said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, it's more needful that I abide with you. And knowing this, I'm going to remain. Paul said, now I want to go home. But I know you need me, you saints at Philippi. And I'm going to stick around a while. Now that's a Bumberger translation. But that's really what it says. You see, my, God expects us to live. It doesn't mean that we take advantage of God or try to tempt the Lord our God. We don't do that. But we rejoice every day in the privilege that is ours to live and to live physically and to another day in which we can show forth the love of Christ, another day in which we can enjoy the blessing of the Lord. Oh, what a portion is ours as a people of God. Our Lord prayed that we not be taken out of the world. But then he says something about us. And he says this over in verse 18. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world. That's the apostle. He was sent from God. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Do I realize this? As I consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, he was sent forth from God. He's our apostle. As the one who was sent forth from God, he was sent into the world. And just as he was sent, God has saved you and me, and he has sent us into the world. Why did he send us? He sent us to do the will of God. Why? Why? Because we're heirs of salvation. And because our great apostle, as we read tonight in Hebrews 5 and verse 9, he is the author of eternal salvation unto whom? To all them that obey him. When the Father came into the world, it was a life of obedience. He said, the words that I speak are not my words, they're the Father's words. As the Father has sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. A life of obedience to our blessed Lord. So therefore, when he says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, all were that. Were that by divine grace. He says, consider. And as I consider the apostle, he's the one that has been sent forth from the Father. And just as he has been sent forth, I have been sent forth. And you have been sent forth. And you have been sent forth to be obedient to the will of God. He is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. But we don't want to leave John 17 yet. There are more good things here, many more that we'll never touch. You see, in verse 22 of John 17, Christ desires that we behold his glory. He says in verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now when you look at verse 22, our Lord speaks of a glory that is his, that he gives to his people. Look back at verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. In verse 5, he prays about a glory that you and I can never enter into. We don't know anything about it. There's a different glory in verse 22. The glory in verse 22 is what is known by scholars as his acquired glory. It is a glory that is his and his alone because of his redemptive work on the cross. And it is that glory that he's going to share with us. You see, it is that glory as the author of eternal salvation that he shares with those who are not ashamed and of whom he is not ashamed to call brethren. Just as he was sent into the world, we've been sent into the world. He was sent into the world with a great redemptive program. You and I are left in the world. We're not taken out of the world. And while left in the world, we are sent into the world with what? The message of that accomplished redemption of our blessed Lord. And we're going to have the joy in a coming day of sharing in the glory of that accomplished redemption. Consider, friends, the apostle of our confession. Have we beheld him tonight as the one sent forth from the Father? As I consider him, I must remember that just as he was sent forth, I have also been sent forth. And so have you. That should give you a new impetus tomorrow. When you awake in the morning, Lord, I'm in the world that rejected your Son. And just as you sent him, you send me. And you're going to save sinners. For there is a vast multitude that have been given to him by the Father. A multitude out of every kindred and tribe and tongue and nation. And I believe that you're going to save sinners in Burlington. Make me an instrument to tell them of your glory. Help me to tell them of your glory. For I want to share in that glory in a coming day. It matters not what I accumulate on planet Earth, friends. It's all going to pass away. But that glory will never fade. For the people of God. He is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And by the way, all who are saved do obey. For that desire of obedience is within. He has implanted the seed of righteousness in his own. And he says of us, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Wherefore, holy brethren, are you one of them? Both he that sanctifieth. How does he sanctify? Through the word. We are made holy through the word. Both he that sanctifieth. And they who are sanctified are all one. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. All beloved, let us consider him the apostle of our confession. Let's pray together. Our Father, it's thrilling to realize what position is ours in our Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to awake in the morning with thoughts of his love, who is living for us in the glory above, who has a glory that is his own, and yet he's going to share it with his people. We ask you now that thou wilt stir our hearts to holiness and stir our hearts to a consideration of that unique calling that is ours as thy children. Receive our thanks. Help us to express ourselves in such a way that we ever glorify thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen.